now begin part 28, and in all likelihood the last in this Tfilavar series. Bezos Hashem, tonight we will learn the bracha of Sin Sholem and also go through the tefillah that we say at the end of davening, which is Elokei Netzer. Sin Sholem follows the bracha of Birkas Koyanim. The last word of Birkas Koyanim is, of course, Sholem, and that's followed immediately by Sin Sholem. And the Gemara in Megillah points that out, that that's the juxtaposition between the two. The very famous Maima Chazal, it's a Mishnah right at the end of Uktin, Lo Motzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brocha Li Yisrael Elo HaSholem. The Kli, the utensil which is what holds, is the receptacle for all Brocha, is Sholem. In fact, in the Pasuk in Parashas B'chukosai, when all of the Brochas that will be showered upon Klal Yisrael, they're all mentioned there, and it says, V'nosati Sholem Ba'aretz. There will be Sholem in the land. And Rashi says, even if you have Michael, even if you have Mishta, you might have food and drink and all the wonderful luxuries of life. Im Ein Sholem, Ein Klum. If one doesn't have Sholem, then one actually has nothing. That's why when the Kohenim give their brachas every day, Yivarechacha, and Yo'el, and Yiso, but those are all worthless if we don't conclude with the words, Yosem Lecha Sholem. It's interesting to note, the first two words in this bracha, Sim Sholem, are of course a parallel to V'yosem Lecha Sholem, which is only said in the morning, because it's only in the morning that we have Birkas Koyanim. Mincha and Ma'ariv, there is no Birkas Koyanim, therefore we switch the Nusach from Im Sholem to Sholem Rav. There are those who point out that the afternoon and evening are times of Din. That's the reason why we don't say Tachanun at Laila, for example, and therefore we need Sholem Rav, an extra dosage of Sholem at night. Either way, if the Yisoid of this Bracha is Sholem, and as we learn from Chazal, that Sholem is the Kli Machzik Brocha. It's the utensil which holds all Brochas. It means Sholem is itself not a Brocha. It is the Kli that holds in it all of the Brochas. So we need to define what is this word Sholem, and I think it's perhaps on occasion misunderstood. Sholem is very often translated, or perhaps mistranslated, as peace, which basically means not fighting. Two people who are not arguing with each other are officially b'sholem, peaceful coexisting. When you think about that, it's almost the opposite of sholem, actually. If you and your neighbor have no relationship whatsoever, you have zero connection, for that reason you're not arguing with each other, that's not Sholem. The opposite of Sholem, that's Pirud. Pirud means separation. If I am separated from my neighbor, of course, I don't argue with him. That's not the essential, that's not the essence of Sholem. Sholem is Miloshein Shleimus. Miloshein Shleimus. When we talk about a couple getting married and there is Sholem Bayis. Sholem Bayis doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't a difference of an opinion or even an argument. You can have an argument between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. It doesn't mean they weren't at Sholem. Sholem is Miloshein Shleimus, completion, perfection, harmony. The real concept of Sholem means when every individual recognizes their own particular tafkid, their own chayvosoi ba'olamoi, their mokoim in the marriage, their mokoim in the relationship, their mokoim as a neighbor, as a relative, as a chavrusa, it might well be that my partner, whether it be my spouse, my friend, my chavrusa, my neighbor, He has a different tafkid, but we work together in tandem, each one recognizing his or her own koichos. That is shalom. The completion, the shleimus of Klal Yisrael can only come about when the Kohen recognizes he's the Kohen, the Levi, and the Yisrael. When they try and play each other's roles and compete with each other, that is a lack of shleimus. That's what it really means, shalom. The best example of this is, of course, Malochim. Malochim, every single one of them has a different tafkid. As we know, when they came to visit Avraham Avinu, three different Malochim had to be sent. And Chazal explained, because each one was serving a different role. Nobody tried to play someone else's role. The Malach Rafael, as his name suggests, is the one in charge of Rafua. Gavriel, those inyonim pertaining to Gavura, and never the twain shall meet. No Malach ever tries to adopt the role of his fellow Malach. That is the ultimate Shleimus. When Raphael, Gavriel, all the Malachim, Malachi Ashores, work in tandem, and each one plays his role. When we daven, therefore, Oiseh Shalom Bimroimov, that same Shalom that exists in the heavens amongst the Malachim, who all recognize their own tafkid, Hu Yaseh Shalom Oleinu. We should be Zeicha also to that Shalom, each one recognizing their particular role. So why is it that we sometimes translate shalom as having something to do with peace or lack of an argument? And the answer is because even though, as we pointed out, that's not the translation, but that will ultimately be the manifestation of shleimus. Meaning, if the husband and the wife, if the two friends, if the chavrusas, if the various members in Klal Yisrael all recognize their own tafkid, not trying to compete with each other, then by definition, there will be no competition and no machloikas. That's not what shalom is, that's a manifestation of shalom. When there is pirud, separation and machloikas, inevitably, that emanates from a lack of recognition of what's my tafkid and what's your tafkid. And of course, the greatest and the best example of this is, of course, Vayikach Koirach. Koirach was a Levi, and he wanted to compete with Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, you're the Kohen Gadol, why can't I play that role? The Sfas Emes writes the most incredible line. He says, in the name of Gedolei Yisrael, that Koirach could have in fact become what would have been known as a Levi Gadol, just as Aaron was a Kohen Gadol. There is only one Kohen Gadol. There could have been indeed one Levi Gadol, and Koirach could have played that role, but he didn't. And that's why Vayikach Koirach. What did Koirach take? Rashi quotes a Targum, V'ispalig. He parted, he took himself away. Koirach brought about the greatest machlokes in Klal Yisrael because precisely he did not recognize the unique nature of his own tafkid versus that of Moshe Rabbeinu's and that of Aaron HaKohen. And that brought dissension, machlokes. That is the opposite of shalom. In fact, when he challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll remember that famous Rashi, where Rashi says, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells Koirach, Boiker v'yoida, come back in the morning. Why the morning? So Rashi tells us, Koirach, don't you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed gevulois in this world? There are boundaries. Just like the night is the night, and the day is the day, and they don't cross paths, so too, boiker v'yoida, why don't you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, you are a Levi, Aaron HaKoyen is a Koyen, and just like you cannot switch Yoim and Laila, you cannot switch either Koyen and Levi. And of course it's fascinating to note that we know that Korach ultimately ended up being swallowed by the Pi Ha'aretz. When was that Pi Ha'aretz created? Chazal tell us it was created Bein Hashmoshes. Because Bein Hashmoshes is the one time of day where those gvulois between Yoim and Laila are actually undefined. What is Bein Hashmoshes? It's a Sofik Yoim, Sofik Laila. The gvulois have been broken. And that is exactly what Korach was trying to do. This is the opposite of Sholem. There is a clear delineation, a clear demarcation between Levim and Kohanim. And if you break those barriers and you try and switch roles, then you are a Bein Hashmoshes Jew. That's the opposite of Sholem. The opposite of Sholem is the one who's forever looking at somebody else's tafkid. What about my neighbor? Where the spouse becomes a competitor rather than a companion, that is a lack of Sholem bias. There is a wonderful story told about the great Goyen Olam, the Rav in Antwerp, Reb Chaim Kreizit, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. As is well known, many, especially in the Jewish community, are involved in the diamond trade there in Belgium, in Antwerp. A member of the Kehillah came to Reb Chaim and he said, I have a terrible problem. I can't understand. I have a store in which I sell diamonds, and I notice that across the road from me is a fellow member of the Kehillah, and he's also selling diamonds. And we recently got into conversation, and it turns out that he's earning twice as much as I'm earning. And I can't understand it, and I can't take it. Why is he earning twice as much as I am? So Reb Chaim, in his great goyness, said to him, well, perhaps his store is twice as large as yours. So he said to Reb Chaim, I also thought of that. I went to his store, I checked it, I measured it from wall to wall. It turns out it's the same as mine. So Reb Chaim said to him, well, perhaps he's got, although it's the same space, but perhaps he's got twice as many diamonds in his store as you have in yours. He said, I also thought of that. I went back to the store and I opened drawer by drawer to see how many diamonds, how many rings, how many necklaces. He's got the same amount in his store as I have. I can't understand. Why is he earning twice as much as me? So Reb Chaim said, well, if it's the same space and he's got the same amount, there can only be one answer. Obviously his diamonds are of higher quality and they're twice as good as yours. He said, Reb Chaim, I thought of that also. I went back for a third time. Once again, I examined all the diamonds. It's the same companies, it's the same makes, it's the same quality that I have as well. So Reb Chaim said to him, I've worked it out. It's obvious why he's earning twice as much as you. Because he's managing only one store. I see that you are managing two. You seem to spend as much time as in your store as you do in his store as well. And if you're managing two stores, well obviously, you're only earning half of the profit. That's what Reb Chaim is trying to teach you. That's the opposite of Sholem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you your Parnassah source and he's given your friend his Parnassah source. If your eyes are forever set on his, that is the opposite of Sholem. And that's what we're davening for. Sholem is the basis for everything. It's the Kli Machzik Bracha. We say Sim Sholem Tova U Bracha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Bracha for Ba'oir Ponecha. Oir Ponecha, a difficult phrase to translate, the shining countenance, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gilui Ponim, the close kesher that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to feel, which was, of course, most manifest at the time of Matan Torah, where Klal Yisrael literally heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the closest they ever got to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when was that? When they were Ke'echot. Kulonu Ke'echot. Vayichan, they set camp next to the mountain, Loshen Yochid, together, the Shleimus. when you are b'shleimus, and that is the ultimate achdus, then indeed, and only then, you could be zeicha to ba'or panecha. We say at the end of this bracha, v'toiv b'einecha levorech, a strange phrase. It is good in your eyes to give a Klal Yisrael the bracha. You're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's good. What we really mean is we are recognizing that all goodness comes from over him, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is precisely through that recognition, which has been one of the main yesodos that we've discussed so many times, by recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of goodness, that therefore becomes the very reason why he will bestow his goodness upon us. In closing in his bracha, we say, Hamavorech es Amoy Yisrael Bashalem. Again, Amoy, his nation, his unique, united nation. I read this week, I mean, it almost sounds comical. If it wouldn't be so sad, it would be funny. But I saw on Yom Tov that the Chassam Sofer writes, as we know, in the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, there are different minhogim how to conclude this bracha. Some conclude, Hamavorech es Amo Yisrael Bashalom, and some say, Oise HaShalom. So I saw that the Chassam Sofer described, and it's quite unbelievable, that there was once a big machloikus exactly how to conclude this bracha during Aseret Yimei Tshuva. And they split themselves up into two opposing factions. There were those who decided that Hamavorech es Amo Yisrael Bashalom was correct, and there were those who said Oiseh Hasholem, and in fact they gave themselves names. Would you believe it? This is what the Chassam Sofer writes. Those who finished the bracha Hamavorech, they were called the Mavorechinas. And those who finished Oiseh Hasholem were called the Oisinas. And the Chassam Sofer said, how sad, that the bracha of Shalom has brought this tremendous machlokes. How ridiculously sad that the bracha in which we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the kli machzik bracha is Shalom, and that has caused tremendous pirus. This is the ultimate bracha, and that's why Shmoneh Esrei concludes with this. As Rashi says, when there is no Shalom, then there is nothing at all. Following the Shmoneh Esrei, we say the tefillah of Eloi Kai Netzoyer. The Gemara tells us, it's a Gemara in Brochas, Daf Yuzayin on the base. This tefillah is actually mentioned in the Gemara. It says, Mar Brei the Ravina used to finish his Shmoneh Esrei, and indeed he used to say, Eloi Kai Netzoyer. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Kuf Yud Tes, that at the end of tefillah, that you can add any bakosha that you want whatsoever. Your personal bakosha, a bakosha on the behalf of others, whatever you like, beruchnius or begashmius. You'll remember that we discussed during our earlier series, when we talked about the nusach of tefillah as set down for us by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, we said that that must never be understood to be at the exclusion of my own personal input in tefillah. You'll remember we discussed the concept of the keshes and the cherev, the charbi or the kashbi, the sword and the bow. The sword are the tefillos that Chazal composed for us, but then there's the bow. The bow is only as dangerous in as much as you put effort into it. You pull back that at that bow and you let loose the arrow. Those are those personal bakoshes that we said at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, or for that matter, during the Shmoneh Esrei. These brachas are crucial. Because on occasion, we feel that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps more when we design our own tefillah, as it were. We use our own phraseology, some occasions, more than the nusach set down for us by Chazal. Therefore, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, it is not just permissible, but it's recommended. It's recommended to add your own personal bakoshes. The Gemara says, never daven as a tefillas keva. Keva means it's a machine. you press the button, the words are said, that's it, I'm done. When you add your own personal bakasha, your own phraseology, those words are expressed min halev, and that is the whole avoida of tefillah. It's avoida shebelev. Despite all that we've discussed the last few weeks, going through bracha by bracha, but perhaps on occasion we can connect even more to the avoida of tefillah by adding our own bakasha at the end of davening. Not in any way chas v'shalom to diminish from the importance of the main 19 brachas. Every word is written al pi ruach hakodesh by nevi'im, but we need both b'charbi u'b'kashi. The particular bracha Elokei Netzayim talks about a tefillah in which we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me protect my mouth. The Mefarshim explained this is the natural follow-on from Shemoneh Esra. We have just used our mouth for davening. The whole avoid of tefillah is using the peh. We've just used it letoyiv. So we conclude by asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please ensure that we do not use it lera. And those are not just two halves of one coin. It's more than that. If we use our mouth lera, we have polluted our mouth, which will necessarily affect our koyach tefillah in a detrimental way. We say v'lem kalalai nafshi sidoi. Not only should I not speak badly about others, in other words, I shouldn't initiate any slander or machloikas or falsehood or evil talk, but even if others initiate it in my direction, others embarrass me, abuse me in any way, I should have the koyach to remain silent. The Toma Devoira writes in his Sefer that we all know we're zeicha, as it were, to yisurim, to afflictions. When a person has bizyonos, he should want those types of afflictions. Those are, as it were, the easiest type to take. I read not long ago that Rav Shteyman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who, as is well known, despite his position as the leader of Klal Yisrael, but he had opposition. He had those who didn't agree with his mahalach. And on one occasion they sprayed very embarrassing and unbecoming graffiti on his house. And of course, as soon as those around him saw it, they immediately began their efforts to clean it and have it removed. And Rav Shteyman found out what was happening, and he begged them, please, please keep it. Please keep that graffiti on my house. He said, 3 years ago, I was in the United States of America. He made his famous visit. And he said, the kavod that I got there was over the top. It was terrible. Tremendous cover they gave me. I'm still suffering from that kavod. At least I should be zeicha to a bit of vizyonos. They've sprayed my house. You want to take that away from me? Please, he begged them, leave it there. A person suffers from vizyonos. That is the measure. The Gemara tells us that the whole world is miskayeh, those who keep their mouth closed at the time of an argument. Of course, it's so tempting and so easy to have the last word, but no, v'lo makalalai nafshi sidoi. It's not easy, and that's why it needs a tefillah. Psach libi b'soir asechol. Same concept. If one is insulted, if one considers others who disagree with him as a competitor, and I get extremely insulted and upset, then I can, by definition, never have hatzlacha in my Torah. If I learn with my chavrusa and he disagrees with my pshat, I go off the deep end, I get extremely upset. Therefore, I daven immediately in this tefillah for hatzlacha in Torah. In fact, Chazal tell us, even though there are hundreds and hundreds of machleks in between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, but we know that we pass them like Beis Hillel. Why is that? The answer is, Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Eirvin, because Beis Hillel always gave Beis Shammai the first say. They will mechabed the other side. When you have that midah, then you can have hatzlocha in Torah, and that's how we pass them like that. Of course, we know that is the ultimate middle which is necessary for Torah. Torah is compared to water, which always runs in a downward direction to a lowest point, so too Torah can only be found by somebody who himself behaves like water in a manner of modesty. Somebody gets all insulted by anybody who has the shalom, disagrees with him, and he always has to be right. That's the opposite of Torah. And it is, of course, no coincidence that the transmission of the Torah came through Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest honor of them all, and it took place on Har Sinai, the mountain that exuded the middle of Anova. We finally say, Asei Laman Shemecha. Really, that is the culmination of everything we've done throughout all the tefillah. As we've said so many times, the concept of tefillah is not a vending machine. How much can I get for me? Rather, it is a mechanism in which I can recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. And my life is a mission of Kiddush Hashem. Asei Laman Shemecha. One finally finishes the tefillah and one takes 3 steps back. The simple understanding is, as the Chazal tell us, it's the Gemara Yuma, it's Derech Kovod. You take 3 steps back. You don't just turn your back on the Melech. My wife's grandfather, Rav Emanuel Jacobowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once said, in order to make Shalom, sometimes you need to take 3 steps back. You don't always have to be right. That's the way to compromise. The very last words, the closing words, Yiratzai Nofonecho, we say, Shiribone Beit HaMikdosh. Of course, if we would have a Beit HaMikdosh, then we would have Korbonos. Our tefillahs are in place of Korbonos. So we are expressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the very concept of tefillahs corresponding to Korbonos means that we sorely lack the Beit HaMikdosh, and that's why we're davening for it. Why is it we mention the same Chalkeinu B'Seirotecho? The Vilna Goyen says that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, obviously there's no Avodah. But essentially, there is also a lack of Torah. Pasuk in Eicha. Malka V'Soreho B'Goyen Ein Torah. There are only 3 pillars upon which the world stands. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash, 2 of them have been taken away. So therefore we daven in this bracha. Shiyibone Beis HaMikdash. You will have the Avodah. And that way, you will also have the restoration of Torah as well. The same Chalkeinu B'Seiro Sefer. That's the way our Shmoyne Esra finishes. And that's the way that our Tilavad series will finish as well. We can only say in conclusion, the Avodah of Tfilah, as we've stated, right from the beginning and throughout, is not an easy avodah. If it will be an easy avodah, there will be no reason why we dedicate 28 sessions over the best part of half a year towards this avodah. Ultimately, in order to be matzliach in the avodah of tefillah, it takes effort over the course of time. We must remember the words of the Abu Dram, who told us that when we daven every day, Ashiveinu Avinu L'Seiro Secho, V'Korveinu Malkeinu La'Avoido Secho, that is a specific tefillah to have Hatzlocha in tefillah. V'Korveinu Malkeinu La'Avoido Secho, bring us close to your Avoido. Which Avoido? The Avoido of tefillah, which means that every day we are actually davening that we should have Hatzlocha in our davening. The process of improvement in davening, like all improvements in Avodas Hashem, necessarily entails ups and downs. Don't measure Hatzlocha in terms of how well did I daven today. Rather, how well am I davening generally? Is there an upward trend? Then it means I'm a Ben Aliyah. A Ben Aliyah. If you remember, before we even began the series in the introductory vav, we defined what it means, chizuk, and to be a Ben Aliyah. The kol koichoi tomid, Rashi tells us. We put in maximum effort and we stick at it. And that's why the Rosh Tiyatah Bishmaya, I think we really have Be'ezah Hashem put in this effort 28 sessions together for no other reason but in order to have Hatzlocha in this Avodah of Tefillah. We will continue to daven to have Hatzlocha in the Avodah of Tefillah, to feel that Kirba, the Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodah Secha. Ultimately, if we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give us that Siyata Deshmaya, that we shouldn't be distracted. We should find meaning in the Tefillah. We should be able to connect to the concepts of Tefillah. Then that way indeed, we will have Hatzlocha in our Avodah HaTefillah. We will see our tefillah's answers, and we should all indeed be'ezah Hashem b'zeicha shetiskablu tefillaseinu letoiva u'leratzayim amen v'amen.